from Independent 1310, KXAM, more captivating talk radio. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of Independent 1310, KXAM.
Studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles. And this is a show that I've been doing now for about a year and a half, and now about 3 weeks into being at my new home at KXAM. The show focuses each week on mental health issues, and my own particular philosophy and approach, professionally as well as personally, is that I take a more holistic approach to growth and self-awareness, which means finding a sense of balance, body, mind, and spirit. So it's a show where I'm not, and as a therapist, not afraid to talk about higher power, God, spirituality, as it relates to the healing one needs to do, whether it's a historical healing from childhood and religion or spirituality, or whether it's just opening not just the mind and the emotional issues for people, but also helping them integrate that sense of intuition, love, and whatever else you, however else you want to define it, so that there's a real sense of growth and healing in all aspects of one's life and being. Now, tonight's topic is called Living Your Dream. And what I mean by that is the importance of living passionately, living in a space where you're really enjoying what you're doing professionally, as well as having a high quality of joy and fun in your life personally. And I don't see that there is a difference between how you're defining professionally and personally if you're really living your dream. In terms of, for example, what I do for a living, I get paid by my clients to do something I genuinely love to do. And to me, that would be a goal for anybody, is to actually earn a living, support yourself in a very good style, knowing that you're enjoying every day of going to work or doing whatever creative things that you do as a way of providing yourself with income and a sense of security in life. Very often when I have clients that are struggling with those issues, like not knowing yet what they want to do when they grow up, so to speak, or going through midlife crisis or a change of life, which we'll talk about later, the first thing I ask them to do is make a list of the things that they really like to do, really love to do. And we usually start from that. Sometimes it doesn't fit at all what their career's been up till now. Sometimes they may find that it does hold a lot of what they're doing now, but they need to make some adjustments to either rekindle the passion that they had early on or to adjust it in some way that adds a new dimension to it, because at its core, they really like what they're doing. Now, I want you to think for a moment about what you do for a living, how you pay your bills, how you bring income in to your, put it in your bank account so that you can take care of your responsibilities and hopefully have enough left over to have some fun times, and how secure you are, how flush you are, how much abundance you have beyond what you just need. Think for a moment about where your life situation is with that. Are you satisfied with it? Do you like the career that you have? Do you wish you had more cash flow? Do you wish you had more investments? Do you wish you had a second house or that boat or even the first house or a car? Take a look right now. Go inside. And, of course, if you're driving, make sure you keep your eyes open. But go inside and really be honest. Remember, this show is called Tell the Truth Faster. That philosophy, if you've listened to my show before, means going inside and getting extremely honest with what the truth is about whatever situation you're dealing with. Getting out of denial and letting these things surface from your heart and soul, as well as your brain and your mind, so that you're really looking at things as they are and how they impact and affect you. Now, some of you may really relate to what I'm about to say. Think about going every day to a job that you hate, going every day to a working environment that's sterile, or maybe there's constant political infighting, maybe there's a sense of fear and insecurity that you go every day, that you're truly unhappy with what you're doing. Think about how you're feeling as you're going into the office each day or going to wherever it is you go each day. And maybe you're even working in a home office but not happy with it. Get in touch, even as I'm talking about this, about how your body's reacting to it right now, where the tension is, whether there's a knot in your stomach or your jaw is clenching and causing you pain, whether just thinking about it gives you a headache. These are all the physical cues I talk about all the time about that body-mind connection. And as a therapist, that's the first thing I'll ask a client. As you visualize getting on with your workday, what's going on in your body? Now imagine that this has been going on for months, years, many years, and you've been unhappy. You don't know why you've been unhappy, and maybe you keep complaining about work, but you haven't really put your finger on it. Think about what the experience has been for so many years of having that knot in your stomach, having that sense of fear and trepidation getting up in the morning. Imagine how that impacts your sleep at night, anticipating having to get up in the morning and go to that job. Maybe it's not paying you enough, and so there's this constant source of stress about finances. Maybe you're doing something for a living that you didn't really want to do, but mom and dad expected it of you. Think year after year after year how that will affect you. That kind of stress will wear the body down, the immune system, the body's organs, emotionally creating a sense of depression, rage and anger. And, you know, we've talked often here about sometimes the abusive relationships that come up. You know, it's an outlet. It's a unhealthy and inappropriate outlet for these emotions that are there. Instead of looking at the source and dealing with the problem for what it is, you complain about your spouse or your partner. You complain about parents or anything other than taking responsibility for the fact that something's going on in your life that makes you unhappy, that you get extremely angry with yourself and not taking action on that, even if it's a subconscious situation. It's still something that usually gets aimed back inward or outwardly in terms of self-destructive behavior. How many people do you know that are getting drunk every night or doing drugs, and they say, well, I just hate my job. It's the only way I can get through the day if I smoke my pot through the day. Or it's the only way I can unwind at night is if I have these couple of drinks. Okay? If that's the case, if it's so difficult getting through the day, let's start with the fact of admitting, speaking your truth, I don't like what I do for a living. I don't like where I go every day, and it's not really supporting me, and there's no joy and passion in my life because of it. We're going to talk more about living your dream, and I'll be introducing my guest in a few minutes, who can really bring some expertise into this, and I would like you to stay tuned to Tell the Truth Faster. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
With the dawn of each new day comes a whole new world of information. Don't you want that information from a trusted, reliable source?
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard.
limb now.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Go with throttle up.
Flight controllers here looking very carefully at the situation. Obviously a major malfunction.
Now there's a new choice for dependable news. 1310 in CNN. Now we're talking.
I'm going to read to you from a letter about 20-year-old Daniel Amoroso that never should have been written. It says, on May 15th at 9:30 at night, our lives tragically and immeasurably changed. Answering a knock at the door, there stood a police officer. I still feel the fear that filled me at that moment. He spoke the words that our only child, our son Dan, had been killed in an automobile accident by a drunk driver. I still hear my screams from my husband and hear the pounding of Frank's fist on the table and his cries of, no, no, not my son, not my Dan. Please send a clear message to other people about the consequences of driving under the influence of alcohol. Let Dan's death have some meaning. Respectfully, Mr. and Mrs. Amoroso.
What should you do to stop a friend from driving drunk? Whatever you have to. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, Department of Transportation, and NAB.
This is Independent 1310, KXAM.
Back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altschul, your host. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles, and tonight's topic is called Living Your Dream. And I've been talking about the impact that working a career or a job has on us when we really are not doing something that we're passionate about and really love what we're doing. Many times we get into that because we feel the pressure of our parents expecting us to go to law school or expecting us to come into the family business, or because we've been put down so much as kids growing up that we grow up not really having much confidence in our ability to reach for what we really want. And so we settle. We settle on a job that's boring to us, you know, and something that just is not getting us where we want to go, and it adds to our unhappy life. One of the things that is going on sometimes is these are decisions that are made early in one's career, and sometimes there's a midlife crisis where somebody wakes up at age 50 and realizes, I'm not where I want to be. And they don't know what to do about it, and they're afraid after all these years of investment, what would people think if all of a sudden I decided I want to do something entirely different? This and other things we're going to be talking about with my guest tonight. Now, those of you that have listened in the past know that most of the time when I've had a guest on the show, it's been another therapist, and we've dealt clinically as well as emotionally with the issues, and it's been, you know, a couple of therapists talking about it and giving our opinion. Tonight, I have someone very special on the show. His name is Parviz. He goes by just his first name, and it's spelled P-A-R-V as in Victor, I-Z. Parviz is someone I've met fairly recently, and he's an entrepreneur. Coaches people in developing business plans and getting businesses off the ground. And he himself will soon be starting his own talk show. It will be a 9 a.m. Saturday morning talk show, and he'll tell you about it in a minute, on KXAM. So I thought that would be a perfect individual to actually talk about his own journey, as well as what he finds with the people who are coming to him trying to start up new businesses and what their motivations are and some of the things he's seen around that. So, Parviz, I'd like to welcome you to the show tonight.
Hi, Stuart. Thanks for having me.
Good. Why don't you start by maybe introducing yourself a little bit more, since I don't think I did you a lot of credit considering how powerful a person I have known you to be in the short time I've known you.
Actually, you've done quite a good job.
Okay. what about your own journey in terms of why you do what you do and the passion behind it, and maybe some of the changes and reasons for changes you've gone through in your own life around
it? Sure. Well, I discovered at an early age that I was an entrepreneur. It's definitely in my blood. There was just no question about it. It came about when I was, I guess, about 20 years old. I actually went into the corporate world. I went to work for MCI Communications, and I was with them for almost 7 years. And I was really never happy there, except maybe the first couple of years. I thought it was, you know, all new, very interesting, but I was never really happy there. I had a big issue with, I guess, an atmosphere of self-preservation that kind of permeated middle management there. And they didn't seem to be happy there, but it was all about them doing what they needed to keep their jobs. And I had this real strong philosophy that the customer had to come first, the company was very important, and the salesperson was very important. But somehow it was all lopsided, so I didn't feel at home there. So while I was working at MCI, I decided to start a delivery service. It was just an idea I had. I'd never seen it done anywhere else. What we would do is we would deliver from fast food restaurants for a small delivery charge. And I did this in the evenings from 6 to midnight, and I did it 7 days a week. So from 9 to 5 during the day, I went off to work at MCI. Then from 6 to midnight, you know, I had to rush home, get ready, and then I had my delivery service with a couple of drivers. And I did this for 1 year. 1 year without a single day off, working every night until midnight. Now, the business never really made any money. It was my first adventure in the entrepreneurial world, but it taught me that I really had a passion and the commitment that was necessary to build something. And I saw that there was kind of an energy that was creating within myself, seeing the small business come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I made a decision, conscious decision, that this was the way I wanted to lead my life. And that was the beginning.
There's a key word that you used in what you just said, and I think the word is adventure.
Yes.
Okay. You said this adventure of this business. And other people might not use as positive a word or seen it as such an adventure. And I think some people see risk-taking and trying something new as something dangerous and something to be avoided. Other people see the risk-taking of starting up something new as an adventure and something to learn from and something to have fun with. Do you see that with the type of people that come to you to help with these startups? I mean, what do you usually see, and how do you sometimes need to help them get through their stuff?
Well, let me maybe take that in slightly a different direction. You touched upon a real important point. It is an adventure. There is a certain amount of adrenaline that goes into it. But the risk part is a really, really big misnomer. I am not a risk taker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely, I would call it a serial entrepreneur. I love to start businesses and grow businesses. I run 4 businesses right now. But I am not a risk taker. I am very, very security conscious. And I think this will be kind a little bit the foundation of my radio show, too. See, I believe if you're out there working from 9 to 5, you're the risk taker. Tell me what security is there in someone else controlling your paycheck. What security is there in someone else determining when you get promoted, or even if you're still going to be working tomorrow? What security is there someone else telling you when you can get a raise, when you can leave, when you have to come to work? To me, there is no security. I believe in controlling your own destiny. There's really only one way to predict the future, and that's to create it. And that's what I try to do in my life.
Which usually starts by creating your presence, the present time. And again, in the work that I do, which follows along with yours, we create what's going on in our lives by paying more attention to the belief systems, the negative stuff that gets in our way, as well as, you know, the positive beliefs we have about ourselves and what we're capable of and what's possible, and reinforcing that. And, you know, when I talk about risks, I really get what you're saying, and I really like the way you framed it. But to me, risk is any time we are trying something we're not real familiar with. But risk is not a negative. Risk is what pumps that adrenaline sometimes. It's like riding a roller coaster. You know you're not going to fall off the tracks, but, you know, you love being on the edge right there. And like you said, some of your things have failed, some of them have been successful.
Yes.
And it's the not knowing that's the risk, as opposed to
It's the unknown.
Yeah.
The risk is a calculated risk.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely I very much thrive on that, and I take the risk consciously knowing that sometimes it's not going to work out, and it's okay. And you touched upon something very important. You said some of the things that have worked out for you and some of them that haven't. I have had some really significant successes in my life, and I don't mean financial or anything. Some of them have been wonderful in that respect, but what I consider to be personal successes. But I have also had some failures that have been just as profound. And you know something? The lessons come from the failures much more so than from the successes. In fact, let me take that a step further. Success is the foundation or a breeding ground for failure, because if you become successful, especially for the first time, you're going to be caught blindsided, because if you don't know how to deal with success, you become complacent very quickly. You feel like you can do no wrong, and that is the seed for failure, because it creates complacency, and then you feel like there's no competition. You kind of keep your business, your activities on an equal level, and before you know it, something knocks you over the head, and you can lose the whole thing with it overnight. And I've experienced that, and it's a very, very profound lesson.
And I think carrying on that my experience is most of us are not taught to succeed. Most of us are not taught what that success experience is like, and that we deserve it and that it's okay to do. And so there is an element of guilt and shame about maybe attaining more than our parents attained, or maybe they have communicated that.
Right.
That, you know, or the fact that we haven't had the role models in them or anyone else. But very often, there is just not the experience of knowing what to do with success.
Well, Stuart, look at where we go to learn about success. You know, let's say we're in college or in high school, and we want to talk to somebody about, you know, how do we become successful? How do we become, six-figure income earners? Who do we go to? We ask our friends. Well, they don't know. We may ask our parents. They may have never earned six figures. Oh, then we go to a career counselor. Well, a career counselor is sitting there earning $42,000 a year. So what's wrong with this picture? If you want to learn how to parachute, who are you going to go to? You're going to go to somebody who's jumped out of an airplane 500 times and lived to tell about it.
That's a great point.
So we need to do the same thing. We need to go to people who have done it before and ask them, how do you become successful? That mentorship, well, we can do a whole program on that.
And actually will at some point.
Yes.
No, but you're making an incredible point there, which is who are our role models? And very often it comes out of movies and TV, and that's not necessarily grounded in, obviously, reality. And
especially some of the comments we've been hearing from those role models in the last few days.
Okay. I mean, even like you and I were talking about a little while ago about the athletes that all of a sudden find themselves at age 20 or 21 with millions of dollars and all of this fame and attention and everything else, or even young celebrities, you know, whether they're musicians or anything, and how often they end up crashing and burning because nobody has been mentoring them and taking it slow.
Stuart, 90% of all lottery winners file for bankruptcy within 3 years.
Right.
Nobody has taught them how to deal with that kind of money.
We're going to take a break here and come back with my guest, Parvis, and talking about living your dream. This is Stuart Altshuler and Tell the Truth Faster, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Independent 1310, KXAM.
Good evening, everybody. It's 52 degrees. I'm Anita Malik with your 7:30 news update. This report is a service of SmartBlade Premium Wiper Blades. Heavy rains continue tonight. Officials are warning drivers of high waters, take precautions, and slow down. And there's also a small flood advisory for the west parts of the valley. The three suspects wanted in the road rage shooting of a man driving a U-Haul are still on the loose. Police say Colton Lechter and his friends were moving furniture into his new apartment when they had a confrontation with the suspects in a white late-model Honda on 27th Avenue yesterday. Then later, a gold-colored Nissan Altima appeared and five shots were fired. Lechter was hit in the head. Earlier today, doctors were able to remove a bullet from Lechter's head and he is expected to make a full recovery. Anyone with information is asked to call Silent Witness at 480-948-6377. And a Tucson state lawmaker is looking to introduce a bill to allow for assisted suicide. Tucson Democrat Linda Lopez's Aid in Dying bill would allow doctors to prescribe lethal doses of medications to terminally ill patients. Lopez will bring the bill before the Health Committee of the State House later this week. She has personal reason for introducing the bill, having lost both her father and her grandfather to long, painful illnesses. In KXAM Sports, the Phoenix Suns will take on the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow night, looking for a win to break their four-game losing streak. And in the Weather Center, like we said, the rain will continue throughout the night and into tomorrow, a high near 62 for Wednesday. Right now in downtown Phoenix, it's 52 degrees. This report is serviced of SmartBlade Premium Wiper Blades. Sick of your wiper blades streaking and squeaking? Get SmartBlade, the only blade with a wear indicator that tells you when it's time to be replaced. SmartBlade is available at Target and Checker stores. And that's your check on news. I'm Anita Malik. Now we're talking on the Valley's 1310 KXAM.
This week on Matt Gerson's Feature Focus, this Sunday at 9:30 a.m. ASU Sundome. Direct from Las Vegas, Legends in Concert will bring to the airwaves two alter egos of famous singers Dean Martin and Louis Armstrong for the concert March 8th, Saturday at 7:30 p.m. at the ASU Sundome. It's Vic Vitale as Dean Martin and ML Jordan as Louis Armstrong doing their songs and voices this week on Matt Gerson's Feature Focus this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
This is 1310 KXAM.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and tonight my guest is Parviz, who is an entrepreneur and helps people start up businesses, and our topic is living your dream. And we're talking just about that, careers, the impact it has on us, why we do what we do, why we don't do what we don't do, and sometimes why we're doing something we don't really want to be doing and how to reconnect with our passion, if you followed any of that. One of the things that I think, Parviz, is going on a lot right now because the economy has taken such a dive is all these people that were being hired in the tech area and so many other things when we had, 8 years of economic growth and all these jobs were out there, and now with Enron and everything else, people are without jobs, without work, and people who were assuming they were going to be doing something for quite a long time are now doing something totally different if they've been able to find jobs at all. But I think sometimes with these cutbacks, people are forced to reassess what they're doing and what they really want to be doing. Are you finding that these are some of the people that are coming to you now with startups and saying, I don't want to be working for people anymore that I can't trust, and you know, I'm going to be my own boss? What are you finding?
Well, first of all this downsizing and right-sizing is obviously a tragedy, and my heart just goes out to some of these families that are being caught blindsided by this. But very often you'll find that this is a blessing in disguise for a lot of people. In talking to other entrepreneurs or people who have, let's say, made it or are living the American dream, they were usually jolted into some sort of reality shock by a layoff or by a realization that, you know, 10 years have passed by and what have they done? They're not living their dream. And sometimes that's what it takes. And I've seen this in my own life also. I can only do something that I'm not real passionate about for so long. And then inevitably, just, you know, by personality, by character, I realign myself automatically, and I have to go into a direction that is more meaningful to me. I have no choice in the matter. But like I mentioned, sometimes it takes a jolt, you know, some sort of reality shock, and for some people out there also. So then once they make the decision, okay, there's got to be a different way, there's got to be a better way, now's the chance. You know, why not do it? I'm going to go and do what I've always wanted to do. Now the decision they have to make is how are they going to go about it? Because truthfully, if somebody wants to create a different life for themselves, no matter what it is, first of all, it's achievable. But the only thing they have to bring to the table is what they want to do and the knowledge that they don't know it all. And then go out and find the people who do know it and learn from them. That's all that is needed. And realize you don't have all the answers. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to encounter some obstacles. That is guaranteed. But if you are doing what you truly want to be doing, if you do it with passion, that is the most important ingredient, because passion provides the motivation to get up in the morning and to overcome those inevitable obstacles and to keep going and to go until you've made it.
I think one of the most important things you just said in that is being wise enough to know what you know and wise enough to know what you don't know.
Yes.
And not assume that you're responsible for having all the answers, and to do your homework and do your research to find out who out there you can go to, what workshops you can go to, what individuals you know already in your life, or cold calling some people who may be doing already what you're dreaming of doing and taking them to lunch and saying, you know, you're living my dream. I want to know how you did it, you know. And, I mean, right now where we're doing the show from is, you know, a week-long workshop called Income Builders International. And this is how I met you. And this is the purpose of this whole week for me, because there are other things other than being in private practice that I've had dreams of, like this radio show, mm-hmm. And other projects. And it took me so long to at least admit that I don't know how to do this. And I don't have to know how to do it all if I could build a team that will support what I'm doing. And to me, it took me, even as a therapist, it took me too many years to finally get clear on that aspect of it. It was amazing to me.
Absolutely. And I'm going to use that as an opportunity to share with your callers one of the greatest secrets that I've discovered. And that is how you go about getting advisors and mentors and eventually even, let's say, people on your board of directors, basically the people you need to support you and provide you with the expertise. How do you get those if you don't really have anything at the beginning, let's say, monetary to offer to these people? The secret is surprisingly simple. It's to you appeal to their willingness to help. Let's say you're a salesperson and you want to get to the decision maker and you have to make a sales call. Well, you can talk to the secretary, the screener, and try and get past her, argue your way past her. But you know what's the easiest way? Appeal to her sense of willingness to help. You call up and you say, excuse me, I need your help with something. Everything changes. The same thing when you need advisors or mentor. Ask them, I admire what you have accomplished. I admire what you're doing. I respect your knowledge. Would you mentor me? Would you be an advisor to me? I just need a couple minutes of your time, maybe a few times a week, and you'll be surprised at the response you get, and especially who you get those responses from. You can go to the CEO of a large company and ask them, would they mentor you? Would they help you? And more often than not, you'll get a resounding yes, because not only do we love to help other people, or do they love to help other people, but these people are looking for a way to give back. What better way is there than to mentor somebody who's trying to do the same thing?
And it might even bring a different level of joy and pleasure that they didn't even realize they were lacking, that they got so involved with their business, and it brings it back to a human connection that they may not feel they have enough of, and they really appreciate, you know, that their skills are respected and that kind of mentoring is something that's valued, that they have something that they hadn't even realized they also had to offer besides their skills.
I may be the best example of all in this instance. I was at a personal development seminar once, and we did a lot of exercises, and one of the questions was, who are you? What's the first thing that comes to mind? And when I was asked this question, who am I? The first word that came to mind was, I'm a teacher. not in the traditional sense, obviously, but I thrive on helping someone else in some way or another, especially by imparting some knowledge that I have gathered through my experience. There is nothing I enjoy doing more. What is that? It's mentorship. Mm-hmm. So if somebody comes to me and asks me for my help, you know, my, let's call it wisdom, you're doing me a favor just as much as I'm doing you a favor.
And for me, I mean, that concept of most of us don't realize, I mean, in a metaphysical sense, all of us are students and all of us are teachers. I don't care. I've never worked with a single client in my entire career of 28 years where I did not learn something from the client that I was working with. Something about myself, some new piece of information. I'm human, so it's like any time there's interaction between two people, there's an energy flow between those two people that's causing growth and development and insight and change in both. So there are times when, yes, I'm seen and identified as the therapist or teacher or guide, but I'm also a student in that situation too. And even with kids, adults forget the fact that that children have so much to teach us. They were put on this planet to guide us and teach us and awaken us to certain things, and we don't give them enough credit for that. So, you know.
Also, like they say, the best way to learn something is to teach it.
Right. Well, yes, definitely. Now, you and I talked also about how what negative beliefs and thoughts hold some people back is the money issues. And
yes,
that sometimes, you know, we are just imprinted with beliefs about how money is bad and how wealth is bad or whatever else. What are your observations around the money stuff?
Well, let's go back to the very basics that we've all been taught in the past, and that's, you know, the famous quote from the Bible, at least what people think is the quote, that money is the root of all evil. First of all, I believe money is the root of all civilization, not the root of all evil, but that's not even what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. That is a self-indulgent preoccupation with money for money's own sake. Now, more importantly, it's been said that money will make a bad person worse and it will make a good person better. Personally, I believe money will humble a great person. And I believe that in order to make a difference in the world, in order to really do good in the world on a substantial scale, you need money. Money is a tool. Money is neither good nor evil. It's totally neutral. It's how you use it.
And how you perceive it.
Yes, and I've had these discussions numerous times, and I've got to tell you, Stuart, sometimes they frustrate me to no end. When somebody, for example, gets a sense of satisfaction from doing a token gesture for the sake of making themselves feel good versus using substantial financial resources or accumulating substantial financial resources to do some good out there on a large scale. What I mean by that is, We can give $5 to somebody and help them in the short run. And I don't want to go into the obvious cliche. We both know what we're talking about. But there's a much better way. You can become affluent yourself. You can use your affluence to provide jobs to people. You can use your affluence to make a significant donation to a nonprofit.
Or start a foundation of your own.
Foundation of your own. I just did that recently, and I can't tell you how much more satisfying it is to know that you're really making a difference. You're not just doing something to make yourself feel good. There's a huge difference there.
I had a celebrity client about a year and a half ago who was on TV and making lots of money, and he hadn't gotten to that place yet. And I said to him, there's a gift here in this, and there's a sense of purpose that you've been given that gift. And just like you said, I said to him, you know, there's so much you could be doing that will give you so much more pleasure in the world. And he started doing that, and it made all the world a difference.
Yeah.
So we're gonna take our final break here and come back for our last segment. So this is Stuart Altschul and Tell the Truth Faster. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Last year, we drove 400,000 miles, tasted over 1,300 food samples, vacuumed up 600 pounds of rice, flour, and dirt. We're Consumer Reports, the magazine that tests products to help you shop wisely. Call now and get 13 issues of Consumer Reports. Plus, you'll receive the Buying Guide 2000 and the book How to Clean Practically Anything free with your paid subscription. A $70 value, all for just $26.
Call 800-336-1111. That's 800-336-1111 for Consumer Reports.
What volunteer organization in Phoenix helps teach Arizonans how to read?
I know the answer to that. It's VNSA, the Volunteer Nonprofit Service Association. I know because I'm Lynn Reed, Executive Director of Literacy Volunteers of Maricopa County, and VNSA provides funding to help us teach adults to read, prepare for the GED exam, or learn to speak English. We serve individuals age 16 and older, and offer an alternative to classroom instruction by offering computer-assisted instruction, small group instruction, one-to-one tutoring with trained volunteers, and family literacy programs.
Last year, VNSA contributed $275,000 to Toby House Literacy Volunteers and Friends of Foster Children.
And we did it by donating the proceeds from our annual February Youth Book Sale. Thank you, Arizona. Thank you for helping us help others.
We are the 146 members of VNSA.
Volunteer Nonprofit Service Association.
VNSA, the February Book Sale People.
The Christian Science Churches here in the Valley of the Sun invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 here on AM 1310 KXAM. Christian Science Lectures and the Christian Science Sentinel Radio Program will help you learn more about God and the blessings He has for each and every one of us. And students of this science of the Christ tell how they have resolved problems of health, finances, and other difficulties through their study of Christian Science. Join us this Sunday morning at 8 on AM 1310, KXAM.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and tonight we've been talking with Parvis, who's an entrepreneur and business coach, and also about to start his own talk show on KXAM. I want to ask you one final question before I ask you to talk about sure. your show, which is, how are you living your passion right now? I mean, what have you done to create that?
That's a good question. That's also a tough question because I didn't really consciously set out with a passion goal in mind. In a way, I'd have to say my subconscious just automatically directed me in this direction. I really had no choice in the matter. But to answer your question, what I really enjoy doing is I enjoy building businesses. I love the startup phase. I love doing multiple businesses simultaneously. Currently, I have four companies. I run them at the same time, so all day long I am switching back and forth. You know, an employee from one company may talk to me about one thing, an employee from another company comes to me 30 seconds later, and I'm switching back and forth constantly. I thrive on that variety. Otherwise, I guess I get a little bored. But like I mentioned earlier, part of my passion is also to teach and to impart knowledge to other people. So, you know, I teach at business seminars. I'm an instructor at the one we're at right now, Income Builders International. You know, in a way, I live for those 90 minutes on stage. I really enjoy that, especially when I realize that I made a difference in someone's startup business that helped them realize their dream. My personal dream or passion is to help other people with theirs. And, you know, that kind of shows in the selection of my activities. I've always also been very enamored with doing things that have never been done before. And I would have to say that the majority of my ventures over the last so many years have all centered around either some sort of invention or a new concept business model that has never been tried before. So I'm a little bit of a, you know, a trailblazer mm-hmm. there too.
I knew that about you when I first met you, and I think that's why I connect with you, because I've always had that sense of visionary and wanting to do new things and having those kind of life adventures. But it took me a long time to be willing to step out and actually explore that part of me. tell us in a couple of minutes about your show coming up. When's it starting, and what's this focus going to be when you start on KXAM?
Oh, sure. Thank you very much. My show is going to be called Risky Business. It starts on March 8th on 1310 KXAM, 9 a.m. in the morning. It'll be a weekly show.
On Saturdays.
On Saturdays, mm-hmm. Yes. And we're going to address one aspect of the entrepreneurial process every week. It can be, you know, fundraising. It can be business planning, marketing, branding, you know, the philosophy of acquiring wealth, everything that goes with it. But we're also going to tie it to current events, a little bit of political orientation, because right now, especially with what's going on in the world, that's really close to everybody's heart right now. So we're going to very much tie it to, you know, things that are useful in what's happening in the world right now.
And I know that you're going to be enjoying doing that show as much as I, for the last year and a half, have enjoyed mine. I want to thank Parvis for being my guest this week, and like I said, it wasn't a therapist, and I think that the insights were just as clinical in many ways and just as important, and to understand that guides and therapists and teachers come even without therapy credentials after that. I want to close by actually telling you a story of a client of mine that I had when I lived in West Palm Beach, Florida, before I moved to Los Angeles. And this was a guy who spent years studying to be an attorney. And right after he passed the bar exam, he realized how much he hated being an attorney. But now he's pleased his dad, who wanted him to be an attorney. He's invested all this time and money. How could he possibly, at this point, now that he's passed the bar, change his mind? And we talked about it for many sessions. What I had him do is make a list of the things that he enjoyed doing. And as he made that list, I said, not even professionally, I said, what do you enjoy doing in your life? And I invite all of you to do this. And there was a list of about 8 or 9 things. I asked people to try and get at least 10 things. And one of the things that was on that list was photography. He's a great photographer. He loves going scuba diving. He's out there letting things go every weekend, scuba diving and stuff. And there were other things on the list that were all part of the same. So as we talked about it, he got clearer and clearer and clearer that he would love to earn money taking pictures and doing scuba diving. So here's this person that invested all this time, energy, and money and outward commitment to being an attorney that within 6 months started up an underwater photography business and became even more successful doing the underwater photography and had so much fun. It was like almost every day he was going out in the boat. He was being hired by corporations who needed things done underwater. He was going out taking artful pictures and selling those photos. All of it because this was his passion. This was his joy. This is what he enjoyed doing the most. And he created a career, and a very good one, out of being an underwater photographer. Now remember, how many of you are doing something that you've had such a long-term commitment that are afraid of what your wife or kids or parents or partners or lovers or whatever would say if you said, I'm unhappy doing what I'm doing? And most of them would not be surprised about that. If you've been doing it for a while, they probably realize at a certain level you're not happy doing it. And I want to make a change. You may not know what you want to do to make a change. Don't rush into anything. And just like what Parvis said, I mean, one of the most important things is taking your time, doing your homework, doing your research, talking with mentors, talking with whoever you need to. If you find out it means going back to school, finding out how you can finance that. If it means getting some other type of training, or maybe you already do something that you do well, that you enjoy doing, that you've always seen as just a hobby, and make a career out of it, and earn a good living, maybe an abundant living. Maybe it's something that will lead to an incredible business. They told us at the conference today how Kinko's got started. It was a college kid in Santa Barbara who, at a storefront, made a copier available to other students throughout the night because they needed a copier machine, and the library was closed, other places closed. Next thing he knew, there was a line out there because word got around. So he added a second copy machine. And supposedly he had, like, frizzy red hair, and his nickname was Kinky or something like that. And next thing he knew, he realized that there was a need for 24-hour service for students making copies. And that, for him, was just a fluke, but it became something that grew into what we know as Kinko's today. From someone who just saw a niche, saw something that would provide a service, something that didn't even take that much skill, although it took the business acumen and stuff, and maybe he needed some help with that. But look at what Kinko's has become from that guy who just made a copier available to fellow students up in Santa Barbara long time ago. What is it you'd like to do? What is it you've always dreamed of? And if you don't know, then maybe find a therapist. Maybe find some workshops like IBI or others. There are others out there that help people really get in touch with who they are and what they really want to do, or what's holding them back. What are the fears? What are the messages you've been given year after year after year as you were growing up? And even now, maybe you're in a relationship that's giving you the same messages that mom or dad used to give. You can't do it. It's no good. You know, you'll fail at this. You'll fail at that. Make sure you're getting the support and healing what those messages are, what those negative beliefs are. It's not just starting a new job. It's making sure that the psychological and emotional and spiritual foundation is laid just as strongly. Now, I want to thank all of you for listening. I want to thank Parvis for being on the show this week. This is Stuart Altshuler, and I'll be back next Tuesday night, 7 o'clock in Phoenix and 6 o'clock on the West Coast. Thank you for tuning in, and see you next week.
This is Gandhi. There are many ways to fight tyranny. Learn about them on the New Morning Show with Ernest Hancock on Independent 1310 KXAM.
This is Barry Hess.